Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for the account of me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, some people would question whether or not that's so in my particular case. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, that part is certainly true, and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Thank God for mercy. Because I did it ignorantly, that's true, and in unbelief, that's also true. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. What that means is God can forgive a lot.
Amen.
Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Help us keep our mind on the message you gave us. Help us keep our mind focused and keep our thoughts where they ought to be. I pray we not ramble and chase rabbits and that kind of thing. Help us, Lord, to do and to deliver what you gave us, that it might be a help and a blessing to God's people. My Father, I pray if there's anybody here, religious but lost, knows Bible but lost, comes to church but lost, somebody deceived by the devil, I pray, speak to that heart this morning. Take away the scales from their eyes. Help them to see clearly. Give them spiritual vision and insight. May they be saved this morning by God's amazing grace. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning off of verse 15 on this thought. Jesus saves. I just love that. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but now I'm saved. Amen. And I don't want to ever, ever, ever get over being saved. Now, I know we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge, and we're supposed to move on to the deeper things and all that. But you have to remember the foundation. You got to remember the fundamentals sometime. And so I have 12 little things here. It won't take me just a few minutes. About Jesus saves. So if you'll give me your attention for a little while, I want to share with you what God's laid on my heart about Jesus saves. Number one, Jesus saves from sin. Amen. Now see, when you say Jesus will take you just as you are and you leave it there, that means Jesus will take you in your sin and leave you in your sin. You come to Christ when you're living a wicked life and he'll take you just as you are. You can just go on the way you were. But God doesn't do that. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God foreordained that we should walk in them. Getting saved is a life-changing experience. It does not leave you as you were. The old man is dead. A new man is raised in his place. So Jesus Christ saves from sin. Now, there's three parts to being saved from sin. First, you get saved from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Amen. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. If you're here this morning, you are a sinner. Got it? So, well, I'm not too bad. I don't care how too bad it is. Did you sin? You ever tell a lie? You ever think a bad thought? You ever steal anything? You ever ignore God? Do you love God with all your heart? Not too is a sin. You ever have a foolish thought? The Bible said the thought of foolishness is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. You are a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. You're going to die. You're going to go down and help fill up a graveyard someplace because you're a sinner. And not only is there physical death, there is spiritual death. But when you get saved from the penalty of sin. Sin is what sends you to hell. And when God saves you by amazing grace through faith in the finished blood atonement of Jesus Christ, he delivers you from the penalty of sin. You were going to have to die and go to hell forever and ever, but when God saves you, he forgives you, he washes you clean, he imputes the righteousness of Christ, and now you can go to heaven. So when you get saved, God saves you from the penalty of sin, eternal damnation. Not only does he save you from the penalty of sin, he saves you from the power of sin. Before you get saved, you're of this world. You're like the first Adam. You're dead spiritually. You have no real self-control. And you're going to do what the world does. The Bible said, ye are of your father, and the lust of your father ye will do. When a person's lost, they're going to go along with the world. They're going to take care of themselves, and they're not going to be much different than anybody else. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when you get saved, you have the power inside in the person of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. You not only get delivered from the penalty of, you get delivered from the power of. Now I can look at sin and say, no. No. I will not be like the rest of the world. I will not indulge in things like that. I will not break God's commandments. I will not drink. I will not smoke. I will not be a fornicator. I will not be a liar. I will not be a blasphemer. I got power over sin. I don't have to live in it anymore. I can look at my friends who used to have a lot of influence and say, I'm sorry. If that's the way you're going, I ain't the way I'm going. I'm going this way. Amen. So I got free from the penalty of sin. I got freed from the power of sin. And one of these days, thanks be unto Almighty God, I will be very free from the very presence of sin. I'm going to a place where there ain't going to be none. Amen. Won't that be a hoot, boy? I mean, go someplace where nobody thinks bad thoughts, where nobody gets angry without cause, where nobody is unrighteous. I'm talking about a place where righteousness reigns supreme day and night and night and day forever and ever and ever. And sin never passes through those gates. Boy, when I get saved from sin. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. Somebody say amen. I'm not one of them Christians who believe you get saved and just go on in it. I don't believe that. What'd you get saved from? I don't believe you can live like hell and end up in heaven. I don't believe you can live like the devil and turn out like an angel. I don't believe that. Number two, where am I at? He saves from sin. So Jesus saves to righteousness. When a person gets saved, they get two kinds of righteousness. There's the imputed righteousness. Romans chapter 4, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. He gave me the righteousness of Jesus Christ, washed me in the blood of the Lamb, and from that day forward, he will not impute sin to me. He doesn't charge it to me. I may be guilty, but it goes on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have the imputed righteousness of Christ when I get saved. I don't have any of my own. Listen to me. Listen to me. God Almighty requires an absolutely perfect, sinless life to get to heaven. Anybody here qualified for that? I didn't think so. Why that? Well, we're all sinners. Nobody in this room is entitled to go to heaven because you've broken God's commandments. God Almighty is holy and righteous. The Bible said that God is of purer eyes than to look on sin. You're not going into the presence of God Almighty with sin. You ain't going. Amen. God requires a perfect life. I don't have one. You don't have one. There was only one. Amen. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so God gives us his righteousness. And you need it because you don't have any of your own. If you get home to glory, it won't be because of who you are or what you did or where you belong. It'll be because you got bathed in the blood of the Lamb and God Almighty took the righteousness of his sinless holy Son and charged it or imputed it to you. Amen. And so when you get saved, you get imputed righteousness. When you get saved, then you are to practice practical righteousness. That is, you ought to live right. the things that made me guilty before God, I ought to get rid of. Amen. He died for sin. I need to get all the sin out of my life. Then I ought to live for Him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord. When you get saved, you get imputed righteousness, and then you ought to have practical righteousness. You ought to try and live as godly and as Christ-like as you possibly can. A man or woman that's not interested in living right and pleasing God, I would seriously doubt that you've ever been converted. You're probably still dead in trespass and sin. I think you're still on your way to hell. Saves from sin, saves to righteousness. Saves from self. That is, for living for self only. When a person gets, before a person gets saved, the most important thing in your life is you.
He said, oh, well, the most important thing in my life was my wife and my family.
Yeah, but that's because it's for your good and your joy. It was for you, wasn't it? You're tricking me. He said, well, I really love them. I know you do. I know you do. But it's because they brought you pleasure and enjoyment or made you proud. The bottom line was for you. Almost everything we do in our lives before we get saved, in the end, is for us. Amen? But after a person gets saved, they're different. When a person gets, before a person gets saved, they live for self. And God saves us from that. You know what salvation is? A deliverance from who you are. It's deliverance from what you are. To what were you? I was a sinner. That's what I was. Self-centered. Sinner. Understand that word? S-I-N-N-E-R. Sinner. That's what we all are. And we sinners are interested in themselves. God saves us from that. Well, if He saves us from that, what does He save us to? He saves us to service and sacrifice. Amen. You know what a reason a lot of folks don't want to get saved? Because they understand intuitively that it's going to make them a different person. And they're going to have to live different. And they're going to have to change some things. Amen? And they can't just live for themselves anymore. When a person gets saved, God saves them from their self, and He saves them to sacrifice and service. You present your body as sacrifice. You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your money. Amen? You do that for God and to man. Amen. The practical outworking of real religion is that it does good for the glory of God and because of the plight of lost humanity. When a person gets saved, we change our lives. We become sacrificial. We get involved in service because that's how God reaches the world, is through us. The power comes down and through and out. Amen. So the practical testing of your religion is, did it change your life so that you're not absorbed with self but involved with others? Do you communicate God and His love and His Son to a lost and dying world? Hello? That means there's some really shallow Christianity in America in 2002. Saves us from doubt and fear. All about you, before I got saved, I had all those things. Doubt and fear. So what did you doubt? What were you afraid of? Well, before I got saved, I was a lot like you, except smarter. Before I got saved, I was unsure whether there was a God. Sometimes I thought there must be, and sometimes I thought there couldn't possibly be. I was just unsure. It depended on whether I was on the mountaintop or in the slough of despond. It depended on how I felt about myself. Was I being a good man at that moment, or was I living like the devil? Right? All kind of things and circumstances influence whether you doubt and fear or whether you believe and have peace. Amen? And by the way, that's true after you get saved. It doesn't change a whole lot. But before you get saved, most people live in doubt and fear. They doubt the reality of God. They doubt life after death. They fear the judgment of God. They fear the consequences of how they live. Their problem is an uncertainty. Just not sure. They would like to believe, on the one hand, that there is no God and there is no judgment. That gives them liberty to live like they want to. But then there's a thing inside called conscience that makes them realize that as bad as they've been, they ought to have to pay for it. So then they wonder if my conscience tells me what I'm doing is wrong and I've done it anyway, and there ought to be a price to pay for it. Nobody ought to do what I've done and get away with it. Then there must be a moral authority in the universe someplace to get recompense one of these days. So on the one hand, you're afraid he's not, and on the other hand, you're afraid he is. Amen. I mean, boy, to be lost is to be in a terrible quandary. No matter how you look at it, you're a loser. Amen. Well, he saves us from doubt and fear. If he saves us from doubt and fear, what does he save us to? Well, he saves us to assurance and peace. Well, I like that. Now, I was 27 years old when I got saved. I wasn't a kid. And I was a pretty well-read 27-year-old. I spent half my life in a book, in a library someplace. I read all them comparative religion things a long time before I ever got saved. I was not an ignorant country bumpkin when I got saved. Now, I was ignorant of God, but I wasn't ignorant of religion. I wasn't ignorant of human nature. I've been studying it for years. But I was lost. Lost. You ever felt lost? You ever felt condemned? You ever felt like you're going to die without God and you weren't sure where things were going? And then I got saved. A little country bumpkin redneck from Mississippi. I was intellectually his superior with my hands tied behind my back. I forgot more philosophy than a guy will ever know the longest day he lives. Intellectually, I could have walked circles around this redneck. But that guy had this Bible, and he knew that book. He messed with my head. And all I knew, and all I'd read, I could not find an answer for the logic and the reason behind what he read me. That guy never made a comment. Every time I'd say something, he'd just open that book and turn to a place and read it. And read it. And read it. And God Almighty got that thing down inside my head, and it began to work me over, buddy. Now, the Bible's a fine book as long as it's out here. It's a terrible weapon once it gets in here. I had all kind of doubts. I had all kind of questions. Till God opened my heart and made the Bible real and made Jesus Christ real. And the minute I trusted Christ as my Savior, the minute I trusted Christ as my Savior, all my doubts disappeared. And all my fears were hot on its heels. Let me tell you what I've had for 30 years. I've had absolute assurance that I'm a child of God. And I've had perfect peace of mind about where I'm going when I die. I'm not worried about life after death. I'm not worried about hell. I'm not worried about the judgment. The minute I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, after God had made him real, I knew I was a sinner, I knew I was going to die, I knew I was going to perish, and I said, Lord, have mercy. God just opened the doors of heaven, and I knew, just as well as I know where I'm standing this morning, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It wasn't any question about it anymore. All the doubt disappeared. My heart knew absolutely, without any doubt, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when I trusted Him and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, God gave me assurance that I was saved. Now, you know what comes with assurance? The opposite of what comes with doubt. With doubt comes fear. With assurance comes what? Peace. I ain't worried about hell in 30 years. I don't care who preaches on it. I remember one time I heard J. Harold Smith preach, and he's preaching on hell. And he's a powerful preacher. Had the power of God on him. And boy, that old man preached, and he's got some of these illustrations. I mean, they're just gut-wrenching illustrations. And he preached that thing and preached that thing, boy, and he went all the way through it. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to every word of it, you know. And he got down to the end, and he said, now, he said, this morning, he said, we're going to take a little trip. He said, I want everybody in here to close your eyes. He said, close your eyes and just and look inside for a minute. He said, now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I saved? Am I in the light or am I still in darkness? He said, now I want you to look inside. He said, do you see a light or do you see darkness? Some of y'all be afraid to do that with me because you don't know what you're going to find. I sat there that morning, I bowed my head. I looked inside for a glorious sight. And I looked inside. See, that contemporary guy ain't got no, we got humor. I looked inside. I said, am I saved? The light came on. There's no darkness. Hank Williams sang the song, I saw the light. I saw the light. He died with his head in the lap of Minnie Pearl in the back of a 1952 Cadillac. Sedan from an overdose of bad heroin, and when he was dying he looked up to Minnie Pearl and said, there is no damn light. Hank Williams died and went to hell. He never had any peace. He never had any assurance. He never was converted. And when he died, when he looked inside, there was no light. But there is a light, and you can have it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You don't have to live in darkness. I got to hurry then. He delivers us from doubt and fear to assurance and peace. He delivers us from the deception of Satan. I'm going to skip that whole point this morning. He delivers us from the deception of Satan to the truth of God. Satan tells you all kinds of things about any religion will do, as long as you're sincere and as long as you're honest and as long as you practice your faith and blah, blah, blah. Listen, you're going to die and go to hell. Why? Well, when you get delivered from the deception of Satan, you get delivered to the truth of God, and the truth of God has to do with the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the sins of the world. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the gospel imperative. We must be saved. And there's no place to get it except through Jesus Christ. He delivers from hell and death. Now, I don't care what the philosophers say. Hell is a real place. Now, I don't care what Billy Graham says. And I don't care what J. Vernon McGee says. Those boys got educated beyond their intelligence. When you start out believing the Bible and you read so many books that you can correct the Bible, you read one too many books. The Bible is still the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And the greatest hellfire and damnation preacher that ever lived is Jesus Christ. He said more about hell by three times than any other author in the book. Hell is a real place. And people that go there are tormented day and night and night and day forever and ever and ever and ever. If you die without Jesus Christ, you will die and burn like a worm in a frying pan until God himself dies. And he is from everlasting to everlasting. But when we get saved, Jesus saves us from hell and death to heaven and life. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you have the Son, you have life. I'm not gonna live again. I am alive. I once was dead, now I'm alive. Jesus made me alive 30 years ago. I've had eternal life flowing in my veins for 30 years because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you trusted him, you have eternal life. If you trusted him, heaven is your home. And if you don't have Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. You're going to die and go to hell. You're going to perish without God. You're going to a Christless grave in a godless eternity to burn like a worm in a frying pan forever and ever and ever and ever. But you can get saved. You don't have to die and go to hell. Let me say two more things and I'll close. Jesus saves once. He'll save you over and over and over. Salvation's not so weak and so anemic that you can shake it off or lose it, drop it in a trash can. When God saves you, he saves you one time and it's good forever. Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, Jesus seals. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. When I got saved, I got in, buddy. I got into the eternal bloodstream of the eternal God. I got a transfusion, and I can't get rid of it. I'm saved. Say. I like what Paul said. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I ain't keeping me. I gave it to him. He's keeping me. We who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. You don't keep yourself, you probably lose yourself before the day is over. Won't you give yourself to Jesus Christ and let him do the keeping? Amen. He only saves one time. People say, well, I used to be saved. Well, now, either you are saved or you never were saved. But you didn't used to be because you didn't lose it. Amen. You're either lost or saved. One or the other. Now, you might have made a profession of faith when nothing took place. You can have profession without possession. You can talk about God and not have him. But if you ever got him, he's still there. He said, I'll never leave thee. You can't run him off. People say, well, he got mad at me. No, he loves you. He may have to spank you, but he loves you. And he ain't going anywhere. I've been mad at my wife, but I ain't going nowhere. Amen. Not only Jesus saves once. I absolutely love this next point. My favorite point in the whole message. Jesus saves whosoever will. Ain't that a blessing? If you're here this morning and you know you're a sinner, and God the Holy Spirit spoke to you and made Jesus Christ real, you can get saved today. People say, well, preacher, I've been too wicked. I poked fun at God and I blasphemed. Oh, buddy, you ain't got nothing on me. I was a vile blasphemer. Well, I've been an adulterer. So was David. Amen. I was a murderer. So was David. I've done this and I've done that. God sent his son because he loved us. And that Bible said that he took away the sin of the world. You think you've done anything somebody else ain't done? I don't think so. No temptation to overtaking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a means of escape that you might be able to bear it. Listen, anything you ever thought about doing or anything you ever done, somebody's done a long time before you got here. No sin Christ can't forgive. No sinner God can't save. I know they got all these deadlines. You know, if you've done this and you've done that, I don't believe that. If you're living and breathing and you'll repent, it's whosoever will. Let him come and take the water of life freely. Jesus Christ saves whoever wants it. If you want to get saved, you can get saved. People say, well, I just can't believe. Yes, you can. The Bible said the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith, which we preach. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If God spoke to your heart, if you felt guilty, if you felt anything inside, if you felt a conscience attack, if you want to get saved, you can walk the aisle and trust Christ this morning. You don't have to leave lost. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus died for you, and he wants to save you today. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Trust Christ today. Let's bow your head. Sister Sue wants you to come play. Sister Sue's going to come play just as I am, without one plea. But that, while she plays, I want you to bow your head. Close your eyes. Close them tight. Squeeze the light out. Let's take that trip this morning, Jay. Illusions. Let me look on the inside at the inner man. Let us ask ourselves this question this morning. Am I saved? If I died today, would I go to heaven? Does Christ live in me? Have I been born again into the marvelous light? Or do I still walk in darkness? Ask yourself, Lord, show me. Show me. Show me this morning where I stand. Lord, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me deceive myself. Don't let the devil deceive me. Lord, I want to know this morning, once and for all, where I am. Is there a light? Is there a light? Is there a light? Well, you have to say with Hank Whitman, there is no damn light. I'm in darkness. I'm alone and I'm lost. And eternity stands before me. The doors swing open. Death calls and I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. In God's name. You close your eyes and pray that prayer, and there's no light. Why don't you get up and come this morning? Say, preacher, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Why don't you come and receive Jesus Christ today? Let's all stand and sing while she plays.